The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Have the changes in the banking industry affected you? With the looming possibility that your local bank branch might disappear and more web, mobile, and social technologies, what will the changes mean for you and your business? Welcome to Breaking Banks with your host, Brett King. The possibility that banking is no longer a place you go, but just something that you do, has become very real. Now, here is Brett King.
You're with Breaking Banks. This is Brett King, your host. Thanks for joining us again this week. And in many ways, you know, this is a great show we've got planned for you. We've got the Neo Banks on the show. So we're going to be talking to Simple, to Bluebird, to Movin, the teams who are really disrupting the banking environment. In many ways, I feel like this is the reason that I created Breaking Banks, to talk about these disruptive business models, the Amazons, the iTunes of bankings, who are creating this new distribution approach, this new connection to customers, this new way of thinking about your day-to-day banking. So I'm really excited. This is this is a big show for me, and a lot of these guys are good friends. We're in the trenches together, so this is a great opportunity. First up, I'm going to invite Shamir. Shamir is one of the co-founders of Simple. And Shamir, why don't you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about Simple?
Thank you, Brett. So, as Brett mentioned, I'm the co-founder of Simple.com along with Josh Reich. Josh and I actually started Simple.com about 4 years ago with the goal of making it easier for customers to spend and save smarter. It was really born of our frustration with the existing bank system, which seemed to be very antagonistic to customers. There was just a plethora of fees, the technology was extremely outdated, and the customer service model was really unhelpful. And we had a vision of an online banking service that was simple, easy to use, provided tools to customers that helped them manage their finances better, and didn't screw them over with penalty fees. And we felt that we could build and launch that. And it's taken a while, but it took almost 2.5 years to launch. But we've been launched for about a year now. The customer feedback that we've gotten has been tremendous, and we're growing pretty rapidly at this point.
Good. So, let's get a little bit more into, we met in July 2010, actually, and this was fairly early on in the piece. I'd come to New York to launch Bank 2.0, and we met in this this hotel on the corner of Central Park and Fifth Avenue. I can't remember the name of the hotel now, but you guys were just starting out. And tell me about the story of how you and Josh thought, came up with this idea of starting this bank. And then how did you come to the decision of doing this approach where you didn't actually, go down the path of a bank charter, but you decided to sit on top of the existing system?
So Josh and I first met back in business school in 2004. My background is a software engineer, and Josh is as well. And we met in business school. He went off into the startup world, and I became a consultant doing management consulting. And it was I was actually based in Brussels in Europe when Josh reached out to me in the middle of 2009, and sent me an email saying, "Let's start a retail bank." And I was a little bit surprised, because being a banking consultant in the middle of 2009, I was more used to shutting down banks than to starting them. But I started talking to Josh, and we quickly realized that the banking industry has changed quite a bit in the last 30 years, especially here in the US. If you look back to the old community banking days in the 60s and 70s, banking was a very personal service, which you walked into a branch and you knew the tellers and the branch managers, and that's how you managed your finances. Since then, there's been a wave of deregulation. You have these massive behemoths which have completely taken over the banking industry, and it's essentially become an oligopoly at this point. And one of the outcomes of that has been that banks, especially the big banks, now make much of their money by keeping their customers confused. They rely on fee revenue from overdraft fees and penalty fees and all sorts of other surprise fees to for a large chunk of their revenues and profits. And so they really have no incentive to help customers manage their finances. At the same time, you have a whole generation of customers who have grown up with the internet and who are, net natives, for lack of a better term. And they don't ever want to walk into a branch if they can avoid it. That's not how they interact with the other services that they get in their lives. So, this segment of customers doesn't even understand what balancing a checkbook means. So they're coming into the workforce and becoming an increasingly important part of the economy. And yet, there is no service which actually helps them manage their finances in a way that they understand and can relate to. And we saw this, and we were like, there's a huge opportunity here. There's millions of customers who need a service like Simple, and nobody is providing it, and it's definitely not going to come from the big banks. So that was the germ of the idea back in late 2009, and we spoke to a few investors and a lot of partners, and in fact even you, Brett, reading the Bank 2.0 was extremely validating of the of our overall hypothesis. And just like entrepreneurs do, we quit our jobs and jumped full time into trying to build and launch Simple in 2010. We looked briefly at getting a charter, but we quickly realized that it was going to take way. It was going to be much more expensive and take way more time than we had. Right now the charter process at the FDIC can easily take 3-4 years, and for a startup to wait 3 or 4 years to get its first customer is just not possible. And we were like, okay, so if the charter route is out, then what else and how else can we actually do this? And what we came across was the prepaid card industry. Now, prepaid cards have historically been marketed to what's called the underbanked or unbanked demographic, and they don't necessarily have all the features of a regular checking account. And we were like, that's not really the product that we want to offer. But on the other hand, the technology, because the entire prepaid card industry didn't exist 10 years ago, the technology in the prepaid world is much newer, and you have new processors who have things like APIs and modern code and cloud-based systems, which was how we wanted to build our build Simple. And that didn't exist in the traditional banking world. So we were like, the technology exists in the prepaid world, but the product isn't quite what we want. And so we essentially spent about 18 to 24 months taking the technology of the prepaid world, changing the way it operates and changing the product, and building and launching Simple.
So, of course, the primary differentiation between a prepaid product, there generally, depending on the configuration, there can be some restrictions on deposit and things like that. But the primary difference is that you don't get a checkbook, and you're not writing checks. So the sort of customers that you're targeting, that's generally, what are they looking for in a day-to-day bank account?
What they're looking for is really a better control of their finances. And that's somewhat hard to quantify, but it's really this sense that you have that, yes, I'm in control of my finances. I know how much I'm making. I know how much I'm spending. I know where I'm spending it on, and I'm spending it on things that matter to me. And I have control of that. It's a very powerful feeling to be, you know, of empowerment. So that's really what our customers are looking for, and we provide them with very specific goals, which help them achieve that. Very specific product feature that, of which goals is one, and you know, we provide all the standard mechanisms. We you know, we give you a debit card. We allow you to do online bill payment. You can open up the mobile app and deposit a check right from there. You can link an external account and transfer funds in and out easily. And we have parity with any other online banking feature. But really, what sets Simple apart is for example, product features like goals. So you can create a goal for anything that you want to, let's say a vacation next year or just a general savings goal. And what we'll do is we will take a set amount out every day and move it into the goal. And that just means that customers can basically put their savings plans and their budgeting plans on autopilot with Simple, and it just takes a few clicks to do that.
So you've got, you know, you've got internet banking, you've got a physical card, you've got a mobile app, you can deposit by check through the phone, you can send money as you would through a traditional bank account. So, what disadvantage would I have taking a Simple account versus a checking account from a B of A or a Wells? You know, what's the trade-off I have to make here?
There's two trade-offs. One is just branches. We don't have a branch network, and we don't plan to in the future. And that is, you know, for people who may be used to walking into a branch, that can be an issue. We found that most of our customers never want to walk into a branch if they can avoid it, and so they're quite happy with that. On the flip side, what we have done is invested heavily in customer service. Our customer service team right now is bigger than our engineering team, and we build all our customer service tools ourselves and integrate them into the mobile and the web experience. So you can go on Twitter and Facebook and look, but our customers rave about our level of customer service. And and when you look at sort of the cost differential between a branch network and investing in customer service, it's completely a no-brainer. It's much better to have a centralized customer service team and really build an outstanding experience for customers.
So just in the last minute before we go to break, Shamir, tell us about the mix of your team. I know you mentioned customer service, but tell us about the rest of your team and how that differs from a traditional retail bank.
We look much more. Team-wise, we look much more like a startup than we do like a traditional, a traditional bank, right? So, roughly out of about 70 employees that we have right now, it's around 25-30 engineers, about 30 CR people, and then 5-6 people who are managers, essentially overhead, and that's it's a very thin management layer. We pretty much do everything bottom up, right. and CR and engineering is empowered to do whatever they need to do to help customers. Right. If you look at traditional bank, you'd expect to have a lot more compliance folks, a lot more operations folks, a lot more people doing things like processing payments and managing treasury, all of which we don't really do.
Okay, so Shamir, if we can get you to stick around on the final segment today, I would really like to hear about your plans for the future and what Simple's going to look like 5-10 years down the track. Yeah?
Definitely.
Great. So after the break, we're going to hear from Alex Sion, the president of Moovin and one of the founders there.
On behind the scenes with your favorite Voice America show or host. For the latest news, visit the iRadio blog at iradioblog.com.
These days, everyone is looking for information on staying young, healthy, and fit. The Voice America Health and Wellness Network is here to help you on your quest to better health and a better you. We talk about everything from diet, fitness, and aging to substance abuse, personal growth, mental health, and much more. Learn from our experts who cover health and wellness from traditional and holistic perspectives. Tune in to the Voice America Health and Wellness Network. Healthy living starts here.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to Breaking Banks, featuring your host, Brett King. To reach the show today, please call 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or send an email to breakingbanksradio@gmail.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back to Breaking Banks. You're with your host, Brett King. We just heard from Shamir, one of the founders, the co-founder of Simple, talking about their revolutionary approach to the simplification of bank engagement and their commitment to great customer service, those sort of things. And right now, we'd like to introduce Alex Zion. Alex is in the interest of full disclosure, Alex and I worked together on Movin', and he's been there with me at the start. So, Alex, tell everybody about yourself and a bit of your background, and tell us what Movin' is doing.
Sure, absolutely, Brett. I'll try to make this as less as talking into a mirror as I possibly can. My background is I grew up within the financial services space, always kind of focused on the intersection of where business strategy and technology could create new innovations and new models. And spent some time over at Citigroup trying to launch a brand over there called MiFi, which was really about bringing everyday financial wellness down to the mass affluent consumer. Along the way, through some digital marketing work over at Sapient, I bumped into our host here, Brett King, and the intersection of mobile payments, social, and the disruption of what was happening in the branch-based banking world was really something that Brett and I had connected on. And so, from those sort of early conversations and some of the inspiration that Brett started with within the book, we came up with the idea of Movin', which is really about reinventing the banking experience and centering it around this idea of mobility, of customer control. So really a money management service, more than a new bank, I think is probably the best way to describe this, but a money management service that helps consumers really stay in control of their everyday money, and really our objective is to help you save more. So we've designed an ecosystem and an experience that is really geared around control and driving behavioral change, and taking advantage of the new capabilities that things like mobile and mobile integrated into the payment experience allows.
So tell me about the name Movin'. We talked with Shamir about Simple, yep. And that's very intuitive, the name, simpler, a simpler approach to the day-to-day banking experience. Where did the name Movin' come from?
Yeah, I mean, it's really this notion of mobility. So the whole concept that, banking is not something to, a place you go, but it's really something you do, and it's incorporating sort of money into your overall lifestyle. So that concept of Movin', of motion, of progress is something that's kind of at the heart of our brand and at the heart of the name. As many people know, we started out, in the world as Movin' Bank, but subsequently dropped the bank part of the name. And a lot of the reason was because from a customer's perspective, the word bank carries a lot of baggage. And frankly, Movin' is a better descriptor of kind of the brand that we want and the service we want, which is something that's much more about your lifestyle and less about, the business of banking.
So the three institutions or the three organizations we're talking to today, you know, Simple, the team at Amex at Bluebird and Moovin, they've all approached this in terms of building a new layer on top of the traditional system, but not going down the path of a traditional bank licensing approach. So what are the pros and cons, do you think, in terms of that approach, A, for the organization, but B, for customers?
Yeah, I think fundamentally, you know, what we're all trying to do is re-architect a system that's broken. So, and it's broken on two fronts. One, for the banks themselves. So the cost of distribution and the cost of acquisition and the cost of servicing everyday customers through a branch-centric and compliance-heavy model is just not tenable anymore. So what it results is in the system not working for the second party, which is the customer. And the customer feels the brunt of the fact that the banks can't make money off of them in the basic retail deposit and payment world. And so you've got this antagonistic relationship between banks who can't support the customers, and so they're forced to, in essence, hide fees, charge them where they're not looking, and generally try to provide lower cost service at the expense of the customer in that model. So I think universally we're all trying to break that. And all of us have to pursue models where we can play with the industry. So we have to work within the payment space. We have to work with folks like MasterCard and Visa. We have to have federally insured accounts. But at the same point, we've all architected models so that we can have a customer focus and really focus on those two aspects of the model that are truly broken, which is the distribution, not branch-centric, but focusing on mobile and digital and social as more cost-effective ways to engage customers. And two, the overall value proposition. So I think all of us are really hell-bent on, making retail deposits and payments more valuable for the end consumer, which is something that is, frankly, just not in the interest of any of the banks and cards companies, unless it's related to driving more expenditure, higher interest rates, and fee charging.
So you've described a little about the environment in which these neo banks came into existence, and it's interesting that the three organizations we've got on the show today, they all have that same approach to leading with the customer service and engagement approach, but don't have a traditional banking structure. But if you were to compare, if you were looking at the day-to-day experience of a customer who has a checking account with B of A, or a checking account with a Wells, they get a debit card, they get access to internet banking, they may even have a mobile app. How would a day-to-day Moovin experience differ from an experience with one of those major checking account providers?
If we focused on sort of purely the banking space, like that I can hold money securely and I can move it about and I have access to pay with it, there's very little difference at all between Moovin and sort of your classic big bank B of A type of account. So the heart of our value proposition really is in more, making that payment experience, making you feel more in control and smarter with your money every time you make a payment is really what Moovin is focused on. So, our view is basically you've got almost very little to no value from a lot of the banks and cards companies in the payment experience itself, other than approve or decline.
So you're talking about at a merchant, in a store, when you present your card at a register.
Exactly. So the actual moment of payment when you're in a store and at a point of sale is quite an anonymous one throughout the banking and card world, right? You just facilitate a transaction, the customer moves about their day. And from the very beginning, we've been very focused at Moovin on the fact that, that point of, that's very a quiet one within the banking and cards world really is the moment of truth for the customer. That's where money's in motion. That's where the consumer's engaged with a decision, and probably the best time to deliver them insight that will make them feel empowered with their money, controlled, and be able to learn from what they're doing. So we became obsessed with not only that payment experience, but also the mobile phone and the opportunities that mobility and the mobile phone provided at that moment, you know, in, around, and during that payment experience. And we do not believe that it's this quiet, anonymous moment, but we rather believe that that's the moment where financial advice can be best delivered, where you can influence a consumer's decisions day-to-day with the benefit of trying to help them be more financially well and save more.
So Moovin is recently gone live in the last couple of months.
Yep.
Tell me about the plans for Moovin over the summer and you know, what are the plans moving on beyond that?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, we're live in market right now. The app is in the App Store. We're continuing to stabilize and improve the experience and rolling on the initial set of customers. Really, the summer and the fall is about, you know, continuing the product progression and improving the ground we're standing on, but also really learning how to market, sell, and distribute the product in new and innovative ways. What we are really trying to do is to change perceptions of consumers on what banking is at a broad level. You know, where we see ourselves in the future is less being associated as a new bank account, but more of as I mentioned, that mobile money app. This is an app that helps me spend smarter. It helps me stay in control. It's not about the account or the banking stuff. It's about the utility this provides in my lifestyle. And I think, you know, our hypothesis is with that approach, it opens up a ton of different avenues towards distribution and marketing that can be quite differentiated.
So does someone have to switch their entire bank account to really get the Moovin experience? Is that how you sell it?
No. I mean, it's really, in a way, you know, it's a companion product to the existing bank relationship you might have to begin with. The whole concept of us being an app that helps you spend smarter really kind of lowers that barrier to the need to switch. You know, we believe we can coexist with existing bank retail products. We just think we're a more valuable service, and, you know, it'll take one payment for the consumer to figure that out. That, hey, this payment product is nothing more than a value store and something that helps facilitate me buying things. Whereas with Moovin, we want them to feel that notion of control of their money at all times, the notion of this contextual advice, and the feeling that our brand is on their side and truly really has their best interests in mind, which again is something that you won't get from the cards and bank companies that are really kind of focused on marketing, you know, to customers with their data, whereas we're very much focused on empowering.
So how are customers using the Moovin account today with the app?
Yeah, I mean, so you know, in order to kind of engage with Moovin, we're first, you know, having you link existing bank account information. So you'll have visibility into card and bank products that you have elsewhere within your full financial picture. We also encourage people to link social networks that do a couple things. One, it facilitates some cool functionality, such as the ability to pay Facebook friends very easily, as well as, you know, correlate social events to kind of money events, you know, within some of our advisory tools. And then last but not least, you're just using, you know, the payment product, and that comes in two forms. One is a contactless sticker that'll go on the back of your phone. The reason we believe that in a cardless world is because in some ways, you know, cards are dumb instruments. They, you know, you swipe them and your tendency is to just move on with your life and go about kind of mindlessly spending. We very much think whether you use the phone to pay, to tap and pay via MasterCard PayPass technology, or you use a card to swipe, and Moovin provides both options. But regardless, we want the phone to be central to the transaction. And really that phone being part of that transaction, and that the ability to have control and receive instant advice on your spending behaviors is what means the most to us.
So what do you see on the phone before the transaction and after the transaction that makes it different from a typical debit card?
Sure. Your behavior, or at least the way I'm used moving today, is I walk into a store, I open the app, and I, you know, immediately see a couple things. One is, what's my balance? How much money do I have? And in the middle of the screen, I'm getting a little bit of advice, a little bit of insight into my spending patterns, like how much have I spent this month, and is that a good thing or a bad thing? Like, you know, am I on track or off track? From that point, I can start to think about the purchasing decision I'm about to make. So you pick up the product, you go to the counter to pay. If you tap and pay, within a short couple of seconds post the transaction, you'll receive an alert on what that transaction meant. Not only confirming, here's what I spent, but also telling me things like, if I bought a cup of coffee at Starbucks, did you know you spent $50 on Starbucks this month and $200 on dining out? And again, you know, backed up by that contextual advice, which will give you a sense of if you're on track or off track. And then post that, we give you a sense of where you're headed. So, you know, it's this constant idea of monitoring your spending behaviors in a non-intrusive way and eliminating the need for budgeting to have money control. So to us, simple metaphors, green, yellow, red. You know, green, I'm on track. Yellow, I got to think about it. Red, I should really think about it. And we think that money management should be just that simple. Taking the work out for the customer and letting them manage money at the point when they're making decisions about it, which is really when they're spending it.
Fantastic. So, Alex, stick around, because after the break, we're going to have John Rosner from Amex Bluebird. But on the final segment, we would love to have you participate in this debate with the other two guys on what the future of the bank account and the future of retail banking looks like. We'll be right back after the break.
You don't have to stay linked to your desktop or laptop. Take Voice America on the go and listen anywhere. Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
If you think you've seen online TV before, let us surprise you.
VoiceAmerica.tv is online now.
The leader in live internet talk radio has done it again. Multiple channels, a state-of-the-art viewing experience, live and on-demand programs streaming 24 hours a day. It's exactly what you want, when you want it.
VoiceAmerica.tv.
From health and wellness to business, sports, and everything in between. Discover our new world. Visit VoiceAmerica.tv now and experience the future of online television.
VoiceAmerica.tv.
Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business.
You are listening to Breaking Banks, featuring your host, Brett King. To reach the show today, please call 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or send an email to breakingbanksradio@gmail.com. Now, back to the program.
You're back with Breaking Banks. Thanks for joining us. Good to see some traction on the Twitter feed again today. Great to have people listening and following us. So up next is John Rosner. John, you're with American Express. You're the Vice President of Product. You're looking at the bank alternative space for the U.S. Market. Tell us a little bit about yourself and about your role at Amex.
Sure. First of all, Brett, thanks so much for having me today. It's a pleasure being in such a fantastic company with my peers here. I've been with American Express for about a little over 10 years right now, and I've got responsibility within American Express for overseeing all product efforts related to building out debit and checking alternatives within the United States. Started this role several years ago with PASS, which was a classic prepaid product for parents to give their children. From then, we moved in to the American Express prepaid card, which was a very classic, reloadable prepaid card sold in retail stores. And over the past year and a half, been working very closely with Walmart to launch Bluebird, which moved a little bit from a classic reloadable prepaid product to what we're terming an alternative to debit and checking.
So, you know, this is quite interesting because, you know, Walmart, of course, is an American institution in its own right. But how did this partnership come about?
Sure. So I think it's a great question. The partnership came about in a really fantastic way. So American Express, as I mentioned, we were looking to really expand beyond classic prepaid and extend our brand to more and more Americans. The American Express brand has been around for over 150 years and stands for safety, trust, and security. And we believe that that's relevant not just for what used to be sort of a core American Express target customer of more affluent customers here in the United States, but really for everyday Americans as well. And so we were looking for an opportunity to extend our brand and our customer base. And Walmart had been very successful in the core prepaid market focused on the underserved with their money card product. And they were looking to replicate and extend the success that they had in the prepaid space with the Walmart money card to more everyday Americans, folks that are not underserved but are really struggling and living a bit paycheck to paycheck and are being squeezed by their banking institution.
So actually the recent data that's come out this week says that up to 70% of Americans live paycheck to paycheck or don't even have a couple of months emergency reserve in case they lose their employment or something. So you're really talking about, it sounds like, the majority of Americans. Tell us about the sort of customers who use the Bluebird product.
Sure. So we've had a tremendous success since we've launched. The latest numbers that we've shared in terms of people that have adopted Bluebird, one is that we found the brand of American Express in terms of safety and security really is extendable. 85% of the Bluebird enrollees, this is as of January earlier this year, were new to American Express. They never had a relationship with our traditional credit and charge card products before, and a full 45% of them are under the age of 35, right? So you're seeing a younger demographic as well adopt the product.
Why do you think that is, John? Why do you think that it's more attractive to a younger audience than traditional, retail banking customers who are older?
So I think it's a great question. I mean, one of the things that we're seeing, I think, similar to a lot of companies out there that are looking to compete with the banks is we're very technology focused, right? We're not as dependent on branches, and that technology and that ease of having the comfort to open an account within your mobile phone on a mobile app or online from your home at a computer is a lot more natural for folks that are younger. They don't have questions about, why are you validating my email and what does it mean that you're not going to send me a paper statement, right? Our products are structured in a way, and we've worked very closely with Walmart on this to save on cost, right? Walmart's about everyday low cost to get everyday low price, and so when you do things like remove monthly statements, you don't have to charge customers very high monthly fees for them. But that's wonderful for folks that are younger. For people that might be older and more used to receiving paper statements in the mail, that's going to be a tougher switch for them.
Right. So, tell me about the customers that you have on the platform right now. You know, how often are they using the account? What do they typically use it for? And you've talked about this being a checking account replacement or a bank account replacement. For those customers that are using it, are they using it as a bank account replacement?
Yeah, so I think it's a great question. We're seeing tremendous usage of the product. So there's many, many different ways to add funds into your Bluebird account, from direct deposit, loading with cash, linking from a bank account, debit, as well as depositing checks either in your phone or mailing them in. What we've seen, and this is as of January again, 30% of all the funds that were loaded into Bluebird accounts came from direct deposit. So you're clearly seeing a significant amount of people.
So this would typically include someone getting paid their salary?
Exactly. So direct deposit is, you know, generally salary payments. You could have some one-time payments such as a tax refund from the government or folks that might have government benefits coming in terms of Social Security. But I think in general, saying that direct deposit is fairly correlated with payroll is a fair statement, right? So you are seeing a significant amount of volume coming in from people saying, I'm choosing to put a portion or all of my paycheck into my Bluebird account. And then what those people look like is clearly they're then using it like they would an everyday checking account, right? They're paying bills. They're taking cash out for maybe perhaps smaller purchases. They're using their plastic to make purchases both in a retail environment as well as online.
So how does a Bluebird account differ from a typical checking account in terms of fee structures and the feature set?
Yeah, I think from a feature set perspective, you're looking at comparable features, if not additional feature set, such as remote check capture, which while some of the larger banks have, if you look across the 8 or 10,000 banks in the United States, you'd be hard-pressed to find that all of them do have some of those features. So from a feature set perspective, we think we're at parity or better than a traditional bank. In terms of the fee structure, it's actually very simple, right? There's no monthly fees. There's no overdraft. It's not actually possible to overdraft with Bluebird, which we found is a clear dissatisfier that customers have with their banks, right? It's their money, and they want control of it, and it's challenging to do so with overdraft. The fees that you have with Bluebird are very minimal and avoidable. So there's a fee for ATM usage outside of our ATM network, which is over 20,000 ATM machines across the United States, as well as if you have direct deposit. So if you give us your paycheck and you're using one of our 22,000 ATM machines, ATM is completely free. Outside of that, you're looking at a $2 fee. The other fee that we have is for folks that are interested in getting a physical check, a physical checkbook to write physical checks. There is a fee associated with ordering that physical book of checks that obviously there's a cost involved in printing and shipping those checks. But what I would add is that we've actually reimagined and improved the physical checkbook. So the first question people ask is, in this digital world, why did you make the effort of giving people a physical checkbook?
I was going to ask that question.
I'm sure that was on your mind. So two things. One is it's clearly optional, right? If it's available for additional fee, we didn't want to make that a core part of the value proposition because for some people, they don't need it. But if we are really grounded in the everyday American, right, the two parents, 2.2 children living in a home with a dog or a cat, it's incredibly likely that a couple of times a year they will have a need for a check, right? I know for me personally, in the spring, I always expect the Girl Scout from down the block to come around looking to sell Girl Scout cookies. And there are a handful of troops across this country that are very innovative in terms of payments, and they've got pilots going with Square and some very innovative forms of accepting payment. But most Girl Scouts accept check, and if you want to purchase your Girl Scout cookies and support the local Girl Scout troop, you need physical checks. And so we wanted to make sure we had that ability for folks that do need physical checks, that they would have so. And these checks are different. A key complaint and challenge that many people have with their bank account is overdraft, right? And the second piece is not knowing how much money is actually in their account. When they write a check, did it clear? When is it clearing? Did it bounce? Did it not bounce? And with Bluebird checks, they're very different, right? These checks need to be pre-authorized, so they can never bounce. When you want to write a Bluebird check, you have to pre-authorize the amount. The amount comes out of your account immediately and is set aside for that check. It comes with a confirmation number that you write on the front of the check, so the person receiving it can call and ensure the funds are good. So as well as the person receiving the check, they don't have to deal with a bounced check problem and the fees that they get from depositing checks occasionally that bounce into their account.
Fantastic. So tell us about what you're doing, what you do electronically or digitally for your customers. We know you can onboard customers through mobile and online. You mentioned that, but what's the platform like in terms of the mobile experience, the online experience, the tablet experience?
Sure. So the platform is a technology based is a proprietary technology platform called Serve. It's completely device agnostic, and so we've got functionality across both mobile app, web, and you can really do anything. So if you want to kind of look at ways to get funds into the account, right, you can access your direct deposit information. You can link and load money from a checking or savings account. You can link and load funds through a debit card. You can do P2P transactions as well to another Bluebird customer for free instantly to send money back and forth. You can use your phone to deposit a check. Looking at transaction history, profile settings, alerts, all that is available through online as mobile as well. We've got a full bill pay functionality as well, available both online and mobile. And finally, the ability to pre-authorize those checks that I mentioned earlier, which some people have found to be very, very valuable as well. You can do that again with a mobile app or online.
Just incidentally, what percentage of your customers have taken the option to get the optional checks? Do you know that?
It's higher than you would think. And what we've found in terms of usage is that people are really using them for everyday items, right? They're using them for rent, with landlords to pay bills and things of that nature.
Okay, great. So look, what I'd like to do, John, is I'd like to invite you, Shamir, and Alex back after the break, and I want you guys to put your thinking hats on and think 5-10 years out, what is the day-to-day banking experience for the retail consumer in the United States and other geographies? What's it going to be like? How are we going to interact with our bank on a day-to-day basis, 10 years out? I think that'd be a really interesting discussion and sort of take us So get us thinking about the next level, what happens next. So you can stick around, John?
Absolutely.
Great. Thank you very much for joining us. And you with Breaking Banks. We'll be back just right after this break.
Follow us on Twitter at VoiceAmericaTRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's VoiceAmericaTRN.
It's all about action.
Touchdown!
Scores.
Taking a look at the NBA tonight.
Highlights.
He's broken loose. He's at the 30.
And headlines.
Big trade in the NFL this afternoon.
When you are looking to talk sports, look no further than the Voice America Sports Network. We bring you some of the biggest names and all the sports news you can handle, whether it's basketball.
Off the glass.
Football.
Come on.
Golf. Racing. Or the Olympics. We've got you covered. We'll even cover tailgating. Tune in to the Voice America Sports Network. It's all things sports.
The business community's first choice in internet talk radio. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to Breaking Banks, featuring your host, Brett King. To reach the show today, please call 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or send an email to breakingbanksradio@gmail.com. Now, back to the program.
You're back with Breaking Banks. I'm your host, Brett King, and we've had a very interesting show, the Neobank Show. These are the next generation banks who are approaching customer experience very differently, building for customer first, sitting on top of the traditional bank infrastructure to some extent, but offering all the things you would normally get from your traditional bank in most cases, but doing it better, faster, simpler, and thinking about banking in a different way. So what I'd like to do now, we've got back with with us. We've got Shamir from Simple, John from Bluebird Amex, and Alex from Movin. Guys, I'd like to think about what is going to happen 5 to 10 years out, how we're going to interact with our bank on a day-to-day basis. So, John, in terms of this experience on an ongoing basis, you know, 5 to 10 years out, what do you think it's going to look like?
So it's hard to say what it's exactly going to look like, but I think there will be some clear characteristics and trends that will hopefully manifest itself as you look 5 or 10 years out. One of the first things that I think it's possible we'll see is the convergence of all of the interactions with the customer, so that from a customer perspective, everything will be completely device agnostic. This concept that we have today of logging on to your account from a home computer, using maybe a mobile web from a tablet and an app from your phone, and everything is just a bit different, right? It's not exactly the same. It's just going to go away, right? Because there'll be all sorts of new form factors, whether it's watches or glasses and other ways that banks will be interacting with their customers, that it will need to be completely device agnostic and just work for customers irrespective of the channel they're interacting.
Right.
I think that another thing that could be interesting as you look to move forward is just having more choice for customers. And something I think we started with Bluebird, where you've got a base functionality that's very low cost and additional functionality available for a fee. And I think it's a model that has been proven out in many different businesses that have been disrupted by the internet over the past decade or so. And I think that's something that you could see going forward in sort of the banking and debit and checking alternative space, where you start with something that's a high quality, simple, value add customer experience that's rich on features and low on fees. But there'll be more and more ways that customers can opt in or choose to get additional value from their provider for an incremental revenue opportunity.
Okay. So, Alex, what about the day-to-day experience for a banking customer? What's your thoughts about how that's going to change?
Yeah, and I think at Movin, the vision is that it's all really about context. When we look at the future of banking, we're really focusing on the intersection between basic banking and payments, commerce, and really decision making. So if I look 10 years ahead, I think the lines of those things are completely blurred. The payment and the transaction itself become totally background elements, and it really becomes more about facilitating commerce and the end consumer's decision making processes day to day. So we view the future of banking as really not being banking at all, but really more lifestyle management and decision support, and it really gets connected to that stream of commerce and decision making on an everyday basis, whether you be buying a product at a store or a house. It's all making decisions and putting those decisions within context at the moment that matters.
Right, so facilitating your life financially, not having this separate, distinct product that you have to go through first. So, Shamir, cycling back to you now, one of the things we haven't talked about here, we've all been very friendly on the call today, but some people might think that Simple, Movin, and Bluebird are our competitors, but others might look at these neobank models as sort of the Amazon iTunes of banking. Do you think that there is going to be more of these new startups emerging in the distribution play that connect with customers in different ways and sort of create this new model of what banking is in the future and hence sort of reduce the number of traditional banks we have in the United States?
Oh, definitely. I think banking is a massive industry which is ripe for disruption over the next 15, 20 years. And I think every aspect of banking, whether it's retail banking, payments, mortgages, lending, small business, international payments, there are startups who are trying to attack each and every one of these areas. And there will be more and more of those. And the fundamental needs of customers don't necessarily change a lot, but the way in which those needs for savings, for safety for lending and for facilitating payments. How all of those will be met 10 years from now will look vastly different from today. And for a large number of people, it will be met mainly by companies who are, you know, who are going to be started up in the future or have just started up very recently.
Mm. So maybe John, coming back to you, you know, how do you think neobanks like Bluebird, Simple and Moovin are going to impact the, you know, traditional retail banking environment in the US medium term?
So I think it's classic innovator's dilemma that we're seeing here, but there are pockets of innovation that I think all of us are seeing with the traditional banks. What Chase is doing with Liquid, I think, is a great example. And I think we'll see more and more of that, and whether it's coming out with different products or retooling branches, what some other banks are doing to go to a far smaller footprint. I think the banks are realizing there's this groundswell created by the opportunities with technology and mobile adoption that they're not going to be able to afford to ignore for much longer.
Yep, no, very good. So, Alex, what do you see? How do you see the mix of the retail environment with startups like Moovin so forth? You know, how's this going to impact the financial services space?
Yeah, I think it'll cause us to question everything. First, on the banking side, really the distribution models of how traditional retail banks operate. We'll start to get under real scrutiny about cost effectiveness and value delivered. And then most importantly, on the customer side, just the expectations, what people think a bank is, what the people think a bank should provide, and sort of the expectations for that control immediacy that we're all seeing right now will just get ratcheted up, and accelerated. So I think there's going to be a real pressure on the incumbents to drive innovation and to address some of the things that the three of us are collectively pushing.
So I want to give you guys each 30 seconds to wrap up the show today. So Shamir, in 5 years' time, what will be, you know, if you're looking back on Simple's progress, what would be the best measure of your success over the next 5 years?
I think just the number of customers we have and their satisfaction with the product. I think we're growing very rapidly right now, but we've still barely begun to scratch the surface of the huge banking market here in the U.S. and haven't even begun to look outside the U.S. So I think for us, the next few years are all about growing rapidly and continuing to innovate while staying true to our core values.
Great. And John, what about for Bluebird?
I think it was well said. Our focus is really all on growth and just a maniacal focus on the customer experience, which, you know, we think if we do a well enough job will really manifest itself in very strong refer to a friend metrics and hopefully some significant viral acquisition as well.
Fantastic. And Alex, what about in Moovin's terms, in 5 years' time, where do you think Moovin will be and what's the measure of success?
Yeah. No, I think it's a similar broken record on the growth path. We really want to kind of blow out the space as much as we can. But I think adding to that, I think a metric of our success is going to be, have we made a difference, right? Have we, you know, been able to change our customers' behaviors and influence them so that they are in more control of their money and they are ultimately saving more is going to be a key metric for us to look at.
Very good. So Simple, Moovin, and Bluebird, three neobanks changing how people think about day-to-day banking, changing the options available, making it simpler, less friction, more transparency, lower fees. It's a very interesting space to watch. And I thank you all for taking the time to join us today and be a part of the Breaking Banks radio show. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Brett.
Thank you, Brett.
Thank you.
So thanks for joining Breaking Banks. I look forward to you joining us next week.
You've been listening to Breaking Banks with host Brett King. Please be sure to join us again next Thursday at noon Pacific time, 3 p.m. Eastern time on the Voice America Business Channel. We'll explore more changes and challenges next week.